Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Marquezel Presidente, your fearless leader, going to guide you through the world of sports for the next 2 hours. And I tell you what, I enjoy coming together with you every Saturday morning because this is what we do. You have stumbled across the number one sports talk station in the world and on the internet and on our affiliate radio stations and, of course, your mobile apparatuses and anywhere that you can find us. So glad that you could join us today. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. If you want to follow us on Twitter or engage with us on Twitter during the show or any time for that matter, go to T-Balance or find us on Facebook, The Balance on Facebook. Also, if you want to connect with me during the show at any time, the number 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516. Well, it's good to be back in the studio here after a weekend of racing here in Indianapolis with the Brickyard 400. We're going to recap all of that for you. How about that, Mr. Ryan Newman, hometown winner coming up with a win out at the Brickyard? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the conversations I had with Ryan just before on Saturday, the day before the race, about his thoughts and comments about Tony Stewart. So talk a little bit about that as well. And just a great time out at the Brickyard. I want to thank Walter Cox, our good friend with ESPN, given myself and our producer, Michelle Jones, the behind-the-scenes look with the ESPN production out at NASCAR. Really appreciate that. Hats off to them. The boys are out at Pocono this week, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to ask you a question. Is Danica really all of that? Danica Patrick has no business driving in NASCAR at the Pocono Raceway. We're going to talk about that. We're talking about some of the comments that have been made about that. Also, Meet Your Makers are back this week, coming up at 10 o'clock. At 9:30, I'm sorry, and I did not mean to skip over this. At 9:30, we're going to have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, going to be joining us, talk with us a little bit, get his thoughts on his buddy Ryan Newman winning the Brickyard 400, as well as doing some go-kart racing. So we're going to talk with him a little bit about that and everything that's going on up there at Michigan International Speedway. And like I said, at 10 o'clock, the boys of Meet the Makers, Brad and Chris, are back. We're going to catch up with them. We missed the week because of the Brickyard. Now, if you live in Indianapolis, you might be very much aware of this. If you don't live in Indianapolis, or maybe outside of Indianapolis, maybe you didn't know this. But Indianapolis, actually at Lucas Oil Stadium, hosted a different kind of football, and roughly around 50,000 to 60,000 fans showed up for World Soccer Championship, and we had an opportunity, and actually one of my colleagues who happened to be there, Mr. Sean Horton, was a good fan and was one of the things that this show was put together for was for the fan. And so we always like to talk to fans anytime we have the opportunity. Certainly, guys, if you're out at a sporting event and you want to call and talk about that, lines are always open for that. But Sean's going to join us for a few minutes. And then at 10:30, we're going to jump right into this NFL talk, the Cooper saga. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame game tomorrow. Yes, guys. Football, NFL is back on TV tomorrow night. Football in America is back. Of course, we're going to get caught up on some fantasy football. Myself, a $2 bill, Josh, all of that coming your way right here on the Balance Radio Network. So it's going to be an exciting, exciting show, and we look forward to having you guys on board with us. As always, my minions, welcome, and we'll be right back right after this. We're going to jump into some racing. We're going to talk about what happened out at the Brickyard last week.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
County Road 233, under my feet. Nothing on at the White Rock but a little old lady. I got 2 miles till he makes bail. And if I'm right, we're headed straight for him. I'm going home, going to load my shotgun. Wait on the door and light a cigarette. He wants a fire, well now he's got one. He ain't seen me crazy yet.
I hope his eyes are clear enough to see these lap cars.
Yeah, you just have to keep it on. You know, sometimes you have to be careful because you know you've got a good lead. You don't want to slow down too much and make your car do things that really it doesn't want to do. You have to keep that speed up enough, but obviously being very careful around these other cars.
Yeah, he's still driving hard. He beat Jimmy Johnson by about 4 tenths last lap.
And the white flag will be in the air. One more lap to victory lane for Ryan Newman.
White flag, clear out the back.
If he can make it back around, it'll be a hugely popular win with the local Indiana fans. Three more corners to go. A race-long duel between Newman and Jimmy Johnson.
Right, I hope you're staying at 12 right now.
What a drive.
What a drive, yeah. Special, special time.
Under your weight.
Yes,
Matt
Morton.
Great job putting him in this position.
Coming to the checker flag right here, man.
Thank you, guys. This is amazing.
Ryan Newman wins the Brickyard 400.
Man. Hello, Jeff. Good job, guys. Awesome, man. Thank you, Quicken Loans, and everybody at Chevrolet. This is awesome. I just really didn't expect this coming into this weekend, but thank you very much. Way to go, Ryan Newman!
And there you have it, local boy from South Bend, Indiana. One, Mr. Ryan Newman, taking the checkered flag at the Brickyard 400. The Samuel Deeds, the Crown Royal presents the Samuel Deeds 400 at the Brickyard. What a fantastic race it was. I tell you what, it was a good weekend all the way around, beginning Thursday, and actually really Wednesday if you want to look at it, and everybody started coming into town. We had the Holler Parade that we went to. Great time out there. I tell you what, new tradition for the Balance, the Holler Parade out there in Speedway, Indiana. Great time there. And then, of course, we had the Daytona prototypes and the Grand Am race. It's kind of a different race if you've not ever been to a Indy track, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and saw a road race like that. It's a little bit different. Certainly, our producer, Michelle, was a little taken back and wanted her oval back, which she did get back on Saturday. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Kyle Busch wins the Indiana 250. Obviously, that's the nationwide race. And, of course, we know Newman got the pole as well. You know, a little bit before that race, we'll talk a little bit about the nationwide race, give you a recap on that real quickly. But before that, right after the pole, I was in the press conference with Ryan Newman. And I asked Ryan, I said, Ryan, let me ask you something. Is there any hard feelings between you and Tony Stewart? And he says, no. No hard feelings at all. They made a move that didn't include me. It forced me to make a move that didn't include them. And so that's what we're focused on. And I asked him, so where do you end up now? And he says, you'll find out when I find out. So we'll be the first ones to tell you. Because, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm reading this wrong here, but I think he's going to pick up the phone and call me. Now, in all seriousness, so it was a great time and really exciting to see Ryan Newman hit the pole. Obviously, as we know, Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman are parting companies. And we're going to talk with Roger Curtis about that topic as well at the end of the half hour here when he joins us here. We're going to talk with him. I know that they are good friends with Quicken Loans and Ryan Newman up there at that track, and certainly want to get his thoughts about the win and perhaps where Ryan Newman will end up at. You know, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's one of those things where money talks, and it is what it is. Hey, you know, obviously Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart have a long history together, and Kevin Harvick is able to bring a sponsor, Budweiser, to the Tony Stewart team, and you know, certainly maybe as a team owner making a business decision, they had to make that decision, and so it allows Ryan Newman to do that. And Ryan went on to say, you know, hey, heck, you know, it's given me a lot of good publicity, and you know, heck, this win out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway probably isn't going to hurt him any at all. So we'll be excited to see what happens with Ryan Newman. Of course, going into the 2014 season, he'll stay with Tony Stewart Racing throughout the rest of this year. Of course, nationwide race also took place on that very Saturday, the day before the race. Kyle Busch captured his first victory at the Racing Capital World by winning the second annual Indiana 250 on Saturday, July 27th at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, I wonder how many of you guys really still have thoughts and memories of it being out at Lucas Oil Raceway or O'Reilly Race Park, as some of you may remember it. A lot of people, as I was out there at the track and talking with fans, as I often do, they pointed out, you know, hey, it's not the same. It's not the same. So maybe that's what you feel like. So that's when we say the second annual Indiana 250 there, because it is at the second year for Indianapolis Motor Speedway, to give you some clarification there. But Busch did dominate the race in his number 54 Monster Energy Toyota. by leading 92 of 100 laps and winning his record 59th NASCAR nationwide race and 259 starts. This was Busch's fifth victory from the pole this season, breaking a single season record for the win from the pole. As dominant as Busch was throughout the day, though, he did face some pretty good challenges late in the race. Brian Scott late in the number two Shore Lodge Chevrolet, who passed Busch in turn two on lap 95 on the lap 95 restart. Busch fell into third place during lap 96, and he was passed by Joey Logano in the number 22 Discount Ford. Busch passed Logano for the second place for lap 97, overtaking Scott in the back straightaway for the lead. On lap 98, Busch extended the lead to the final two laps, taking the checkered flag and win by 2.142 seconds over Scott, with Logano finishing third in the number 22 Discount Tire Ford. So there you go, guys. And of course, we could go on a little bit more about some of the other results. But we could talk about Sam Hornish. We could talk about Brian Vickers. Certainly, we could do that if you want to give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll talk with you about that. This is kind of a recap of what happened there. But as you know, Ryan Newman took the checkered flag out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday. In a lot of ways, there was some records set, maybe not on the track, certainly weather-wise. I've been going to the Brickyard for a good number of years, and I'm going to tell you what, I have never seen a Brickyard that was as good. It was cool. I mean, I hung out a little bit out there on turn three during the race, and I mean, I saw people in blankets and snuggies and sweaters, and you know, so the temperature was cool. So the track temperatures were cool. If you want to call 91 degrees a track temperature, a cool temperature. So, you know, not a lot of excitement as far as wrecks and that sort of go, if that's your thing. I know a lot of fans like the wrecks and like to see what happens, but in those aspects, not a lot going on there. But certainly at the end of the day, Ryan Newman, and we saw Jimmy Johnson take the lead a little bit there as well. Him and Ryan Newman, of course, Ryan Newman, Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards were right there at the top three in the poll. And I tell you what, I wish I could share a funny story, and I'm not going to do it. But as I come into the press conference room, Carl Edwards, Ryan Newman, and Jimmy Johnson said, we're waiting for the conference to start. And I will share this one part about it. I walked past Carl. I said, Carl, I said, what'd you do, a backflip off the podium there while we're waiting on that? And he says, you go first. Obviously, that did not happen. But he went on to tell me where he tells everybody that, and that did happen down in Miami. And that's where I'm going to stop the story, because I don't want to share any more about that story. But it was hilarious. And so those guys were really comical up on the podium. Well, when I say podium, I mean the press conference podium. Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson, and Ryan Newman. I talked a little bit with both of those guys too. I talked with Jimmy Johnson about going for five at that point and what it meant. And obviously, you know, in the generation before him was Jeff Gordon, and now he's taking on the reins, and what that would mean to be in that conversation right there to win five times out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And he basically said, you know, I don't really look at the stats. That's for what you guys do. And it is reviewed with me, but I don't concentrate on that, and I figure at the end of my career that'll be a good time for me to look at those stats. So very good answer. He doesn't really get caught up in all the stats. He just is focusing on winning races, and that's what Jimmy Johnson does. And certainly a lot of people believe that Jimmy Johnson would come out there and take the checkered flag at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So it was a duel all week long. All day long with Ryan Newman and Jimmy Johnson, especially. I also talked with Carl Edwards a little bit about lights being put up on the stadium. As you know, we talked a little bit about that in our show on that Saturday morning, last Saturday morning. And, I asked Carl, I said, you know, the thing is, the lights could be in the very near future. So it's really no matter a question of if, but when. And it very well could be your race to be the very first race under the lights at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And a lot of people would say, tradition, say, no, I don't want that. But what do you say about lights? What are your thoughts about lights? And he says, you know, I'm here to give a great show for the fans, and I'm all about tradition, especially coming with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But it would be something special if our race was the first night race out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So good conversation with Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, and Ryan Newman out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway last weekend. And as you know, we enjoy going out there, and certainly that's our home track, and we cover racing all over. And we've been doing this thing for a while now. So, you know, it's good to be starting to get known out at the racetracks and be able to talk to a lot of the drivers on a candid level and have a good time with them. As we all know, as the old saying goes, they put the britches on one leg at a time, just like we do. Well, guys, you know, NASCAR continues to heat up. And you know what? I always like to pick up on these rumors when I'm doing show prep. And, you know, as I was looking at this stuff throughout the week, you know, here's the thing, and bloggers are out there and they'll give their opinions, but I want to get your thoughts. And here we go, talking about Danica Patrick one more time, but I'm going to try to just point this out. Danica Patrick has no business driving a NASCAR at Pocono Raceway. It's a waste of a good car. Danica demonstrated once again she isn't qualified to drive a NASCAR. She qualified her car at almost 5 miles slower than the pole winner, Jimmy Johnson, who averaged 180.654. Patrick put her car into the 34th position with a speed of 175.860. The former Daytona pole winner hasn't done much since winning the pole at the Super Speedway. She lacks the tools to be competitive. So here we go again. We're talking about Danica. And so many fans, and as we know, our show is dedicated to you, the fans, and we talk about, you know, one of the great things that I like about our show is we really don't have to conform to the mainstream media thoughts and propaganda. Now, don't get me wrong. We cover the same stories. We talk about the same events, and we're at the same events with the mainstream media. And certainly, a lot of times, they've got some good coverage. And obviously, you know, not dogging like ESPN, for example, because obviously they treat us very well, and we had a great time with them, and we've got some good friends of them from them on the show here. But just speaking, you know, outside the box and just generally speaking, we don't have to conform necessarily to what somebody tells us what we can talk about and what we can't talk about. Quite frankly, we myself, my producer, and just a few team of other people are the ones who decide what we talk about. But most importantly, what decide what we talk about is you, our fans. So we want to hear from you. T-Balance and Facebook, 917-889-8516. So certainly, you know, that this conversation continues to go on about Danica Patrick. Is she competitive? Is she not competitive? I mean, is she more is the only reason that Tony Stewart has her out there is for the sponsorship of GoDaddy. And that could be an interesting thought. Maybe it is just marketing. Maybe that's all she is. You know, a lot of companies have marketing directors. A lot of companies, their job is to market the sport. And we can say what you want about her driving abilities. Danica Patrick puts butts in the seats. Danica Patrick sells merchandise. Danica Patrick, as crazy as it sounds, in a lot of ways, is the face of NASCAR. In a lot of ways, was the face of IndyCar. So, you know, maybe that's a good move on Tony Stewart's part to have her on board. Obviously, she brings money and revenue, and as a team owner, those are some of the things that you want to look at. But in this article, it says that she lacks the tools to be competitive in NASCAR. Is it the equipment they give her the best week after week after week? It's her driving. She can't get in the car and get speed up, and we've seen it on tracks from Indianapolis and Michigan. Patrick is just wasting good equipment. Her race team works hard to give her the best car they can to put on the track, and it's becoming a waste of their time. And that's from USA Sports 360.com. You could go there and read the rest of the article. They aren't going to win putting Patrick into a car They should be able to see that by now, and she isn't even competitive. So, you know, so certainly the fireworks are beginning to flare up out at with NASCAR and Denica Patrick as well. Well, as we move on to other sports, IndyCar out of the Mid-Ohio race, and obviously they did some practice yesterday, caught up with some soundbite from practice yesterday. We'll talk more about IndyCar in Mid-Ohio right after this.
You know, I think Mid-Ohio, for me, it's one of the, you know, great American old-school kind of road racing tracks, and one that I've raced at since I first came to America in 1999. So had a lot of great days there. I think we've won, what, four or five races there in the IndyCar, and it's always a place that typically is known, you know, to be tough to pass. But, you know, I think we've only...
After a 24-year absence from this tricky triangle, IndyCars are back in Pocono and faster than ever.
Start those engines!
Well, Scott Dixon is closing in on a new track record here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Welcome back, guys, at IndyCar Series race weekend action from Lexington, Ohio. James Hinchcliffe in the GoDaddy car, Mark, just got the car sideways coming up the hill off of 8. Hinch is going to take the corner, get over the curb.
He caught a lot of that curbing, and it really upset the balance of the race car.
Yeah, so red flag's going to come out. That's our first of the day. That's Tony Kanaan.
That's the 11 machine of Tony Kanaan. He is deep into the tire barrier in the Sunoco machine.
Cars will roll back out. We get back underway. Cars once again trying to get some temp in those tires on what is a cool August Friday here in Lexington, Ohio, at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, as we've got another car off the course, and that's Graham Rahal. Will Powell just had an off. Exiting turn number 4. Man, tricky out there today, and tricky for some guys with a lot of experience. We're seeing some veterans really get hung out to dry here, and he did a heck of a job, boy. He drove that thing like a sprint car. Pagano has gone off the track in the exact same area as both Graham Rahal and Will Power, simply unable to negotiate the apex of turn number 4.
We have to relate it to a lack of grip and because of the lack of temperature in the tires.
Luca Felipe, he is currently P3 in the number 98 Team Barracuda car. Checkers come out. Final lap of the session. Scott Dixon goes to P1 with a time of a minute 5.4469. And on his final lap, Will Power just one up Scott Dixon by a couple of hundredths of a second. So Power comes in with his final lap at a minute 5.4332. And he does that after an off in turn 12 where he has to get the tires cleaned off.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Scott Dixon again showing that he can do what it takes to win some races. It's really exciting to watch it. We're standing by to talk with Roger Curtis. As soon as he joins us, we're going to break away from some IndyCar conversation and go back into some NASCAR conversation so that we can, well, not just NASCAR, but predominantly NASCAR and some of the things that are going on with Michigan International Speedway. But Scott Dixon certainly has taken full advantage of IndyCar's midsummer break, spending the 2 weeks after victories at Pocono and Toronto last month hanging out with his wife and attending birthday parties with his daughters. Dixon went back to work on Friday during practice this weekend at the Indy 200 at the Mid-Ohio, as you heard in that soundbite. Obviously, the 33-year-old is looking to become the first driver in the Open Wheel Series to win 4 straight races since 2006. The run has allowed Dixon to claw within striking distance of the points leader, Helio Castroneves, with 6 races remaining. The two-time champion says he's not he's not thinking about catching Castroneves just yet, but pleased with his team's progress through after a rough start. Dixon could draw closer after this weekend at the track. Certainly a road course or a street course. We'll call it a road course, if you will. Joining us now from Michigan, I believe this is Roger Curtis. Roger, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, and I will start with an apology to you and all the listeners about last Saturday when I was in a go-kart race and not thinking about calling you, so I am sorry.
You know what? It's all good. You know, we cried for a little bit. We cursed you a little bit. We went on to the Brickyard, and we said, Roger don't know what he's missing. So talk with us about now let me ask you this. You know, a lot of drivers got their start in the go-karts. So what was your experience? Why were you in a go-kart? Because I really would love to race a go-kart, but I'm thinking that I just don't have the physique for a go-kart anymore these days.
Oh, I tell you, each year I've done it. I've done it for 7 years since I got up here in Michigan, and each year my body—I can tell I'm getting older. Let's put it that way. But it's fun. We do it. It's a 12-hour race, and we're competing against a bunch of teams from around Michigan, and we have a lot of fun. We finished second the last 3 years in a row, 4 out of the last 7, and believe it or not, after 12 hours. We have finished second by one lap, 23 seconds, and this year 7 seconds. We lost by 7. So frustrating, but still fun.
Well, let me ask you this. How fast were you able to get it up to?
You know, I don't honestly know, to tell you the truth. I know going – it's some pretty serious speed at times. It's a small road course, though. It's not, you know, like we have the infield repaved and the Michigan Karting and World Karting Association comes out to MIS with the shifter carts, and they're crazy, man. They're going into those high bank turns doing 140, something like that. We were not doing that, I can assure you.
Well, you know, and that's a real popular race, especially right around Brickyard here in Indianapolis. There's a big go-kart race for charity as well. And I'm sorry you missed the show. You know, we gave you a hard time about it, but I certainly understand that you're a very busy man that comes in high demand. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about last week, and I'm just going to push it forward to this week, and certainly I think maybe he had a little bit better this week, this past week out of Indianapolis, but was Denny Hamlin at a golf outing that I don't know if you guys were the title sponsor, but certainly right around there in your neck of the woods there with the Michigan International Speedway, took that time to sort of vent and talk about some of the problems and issues that he had. Were you privy to hear that conversation?
No, but he and I did talk about it. He was here doing an event to help promote the Pure Michigan 400. We were over in the Grand Rapids area and had a chance to chat a little bit. And I didn't know Denny that well, so I asked him some questions and said, hey, if you don't want to answer, that's cool, I get it. But, you know, I said, first, the question you always hate, how's the back? So
sure,
we talked
right
about that. It's coming along, but... And my second question was, Danny, how are you staying motivated right now? Because you're used to running for the championship, and what happens now? And he went into great detail about the whole crew's that way. I mean, everyone. And Coach Gibbs had to call a team meeting, and they talked about how to stay motivated and what was left with the season, the balance of the season, and what was important to them. And they reset, which I thought was great. I mean, typical successful Super Bowl-winning NFL coach recalibrated the goals. Okay, we're not going to win the championship this year. Let's just get rid of that. Probably not even going to make the chase, so let's get that goal. But let's take what's left in the season and set some goals so we've got some motivation instead of just floundering out there from race to race. And I thought that was great.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I mean, obviously he didn't win, and a lot of times a win for a NASCAR team or any race team isn't necessarily the checkered flag. It's really how they did on the track. When you looked at how he did up here in Indianapolis, or down here in Indianapolis from you, but when you looked at how they did on the track overall, well, do you think that maybe there was a little shot in the arm there, a little bit different? It seemed like a different feel. I went to the garages and hung around there and talked with Denny very, very briefly. Of course, at Brickyard, you got about 2 seconds for everybody. But I know that they were very, very busy, but it seemed like there was a lot of energy in that particular garage. Do you think that maybe there was some motivation, some changes? It just seemed a little bit of a different team in Brickyard as opposed to other races this year.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I could sense it in just my little conversation with them coming off of their team meeting earlier in the week. So, it wouldn't surprise me if he still doesn't win a race before the season's out. I think that, clearly that team's capable, and I don't think his back injury is holding him back right now. And, that was a big, huge mental blow. I mean, never mind the physical pain that Denny went through. But for the whole team and for Denny mentally to go from thinking they're going to run for a championship, as they usually do, easily making the chase, you know, 2, 3, 4 wins a year, to what they've dealt with this year. And plus you add on the fact that I think in Denny's mind, he thought as soon as he came back from that back injury, he was going to go on a tear, get a bunch of top five, top tens, win some races. And I think in his mind, he still had a very legitimate shot to make the chase. And when it became clear after, you know, 4 or 5 races, 6 races back that he wasn't, it was almost like a double blow. You know, you already had the back injury mental problem. Now you had my comeback wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And that had to affect the team too. And so, you know, like I said, stereotypical Coach Gibbs stepping in and being the motivator that he is,
sure,
getting the team refocused.
Well, certainly, and he's a unique ability, obviously, to be a NASCAR team owner, one of the legends when it comes to NASCAR team owner, but also a legend in NFL. And believe me, sometimes in an NFL locker room, you have to be extremely motivating. So certainly, Joe Gibbs is the master motivator, and certainly he brought up Tony Stewart through the ranks, and I think kind of if we want to say if that's ever possible to say that one person tamed Tony Stewart, I think it was Joe Gibbs. So if anybody can, certainly, and Denny's one of Joe Gibbs' most veteran drivers. And it just seems like a little frustration, but when you have a wreck like Denny experienced, it's hard to bounce back from, and it's more than just the physical issues for the driver. It affects the whole team, and let's face it, that was a pretty scary wreck.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, I mean, Denny has been seeing a sports psychologist before the wreck to handle the stress that he puts on himself and the mental fatigue that he's created in his mind over, you know, you go back to a couple years ago and the quote-unquote mental meltdown he had when he was running for the championship after he ran out of gas there at Phoenix, and he still had a great shot at winning the championship going into Miami, but, you know, very clearly early on just wasn't there and had the incident. And I think he's been struggling a little bit to right the ship, if you will, in his sports mind for a while since then. And so this back injury not only had, as you said, that physical element to it, and rehabbing and recovering and going through all the therapy there, but, and that's just the mental fatigue. When you think you're a prime athlete in any sport and you're used to playing for championships and suddenly you physically can't, that has to take a toll mentally. It has to.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people do take for granted what these drivers go through and the things that they go through. So I want to use that as a segue going into another issue that we deal with, that's dealing with right now, and that's obviously Ryan Newman and the separation between Tony Stewart in 2014 and moving forward with Ryan Newman. I know you guys are close to him at Michigan. Obviously, Quicken Loans is a sponsor of his, so that's certainly, I think, in a lot of ways he considers his home track. So you guys are very close to Ryan Newman. What are your thoughts, first of all, just as a fan of the race, just as, you know, tabling the whole business side of it, just looking at it as a fan, what are your thoughts of the way, and what I would think, in my opinion as a fan, maybe you have a different opinion of this, and I like Tony, he's a good guy, and I've talked with him numerous times, but I just think he just kind of said, hey, he just gave Ryan the old heave-ho just because of the old greenbacks. Now, that's a fan speaking. I know there was a lot of business decisions involved with that, which we'll have that conversation here in a second. But as a fan, what did you think about that whole deal between Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman and then Parton Companies?
Well, not dealing with the business side of it, it's got to be tough because, you know, Tony's won a championship with his team and he got off to an incredibly slow start this year. Seems to finally be coming around. Obviously, the whole team seems to be coming around with Ryan's victory. But, you know, it's got to be tough for Tony as a fan of his team to not be competitive. And, you know, clearly he's not going to fire himself. and he's not going to get rid of Danica because Danica's got a lot of money coming with GoDaddy. And, you know, that's a huge PR machine there. So not going to do anything there. But I really like Ryan Newman. He's definitely got a very different personality. My nickname for him, I don't think anyone else calls him, he's got a bulldog mentality. I mean, he's bullheaded. He's going to go out and he's going to do it. He doesn't make a lot of excuses. I know he's been in some verbal spats with some drivers, but at the end of the day, whenever I talk to him, he's a pretty straightforward guy. Look, I just want to go out there. I want to make the car work. I know I can drive this thing. And I almost feel I'm starting to segue into the business side now. But
sure.
Like he's been frustrated there for reasons that we may never know. It's certainly not funding, I don't think, but I don't know that he's had the chemistry that he thought he was going to have there. And so you look at Kevin Harvick coming over, and he's coming with sponsorship. I don't know that Quicken Loans is – I don't know that they're going to stay with Tony Stewart. I don't know that they're going to stay with Ryan Newman, to be honest. I'm hearing a lot of grumblings that they could be looking completely away from those two, from the team and from the driver, mm-hmm. Ryan. So we'll have to see what happens there. I really like Ryan. I still think he can drive a car with the best of them, but you do have to sit back and think, this is a guy that, on average, he only wins one race a year.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So I didn't have this in my list, but it's certainly you opened the door, so I'm going to talk about that. That's one more race a year than Danica wins, and Tony Stewart is hanging on to a marketing guru, and, you know, there are people who say she has no business being in a race car. At least you can identify Ryan Newman as a race car driver. So if that's the logic, why are we hanging on to Danica and not to Ryan? It goes back to the money.
It goes back to the money, and it goes back to the sport. She's, let's face it, whether she's won or not, she's an icon in our sport. And this
sure.
is going to get all the Danica supporters and the Danica haters both fired up.
There we go. That's what we want, right?
Here's my humble opinion. Let's not judge Danica for the stereotype that has been developed around her and the aurora of good or bad that people have put on her. Let's judge her for the fact that she basically is a very young driver in NASCAR, came up, was forced to come up quickly through the development, through the Nationwide Series, hopped into a cup car, and quite frankly, at times this year, has shown that she can be a very good race car driver. And I don't care if she's male, female, wears a bikini, or wears a nun's outfit. I don't, you know, let's take all that off the table.
Sure.
So
sure.
We need to judge her based on, in my opinion, of just the ability of a young NASCAR Sprint Cup Series driver. And if I were to do that, and the fact that she brings a lot of money, I'd be willing to continue her development to see what may happen. But then everyone can pile on top of that.
Yeah, sure. Well, certainly, you know, as we mentioned a while ago, her team gives her the best equipment, the best car. And, you know, she did win the pole in Daytona, and she
yep.
made a good showing. And she is a marketing icon, so we'll see what happens with that. And real quickly, and we're talking with Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, obviously a Purdue grad, shares the alumni with Ryan Newman. He carries the sponsor of Quicken Loans, obviously the sponsor up there at Michigan. So there's a lot of ties there. I asked Ryan in the press conference. I said, Ryan, is there any hard feelings between you and Tony? And he says, no, none at all. And I'm using his words now. He said they made a move, which didn't include me, which forced me to make a move that didn't include them. And then, quite honestly, all of this publicity could do nothing but help me. And then he goes out and wins the poll and then wins the Brickyard. I mean, I don't know if you could say, Tony, guess what? Now, of course, financially speaking, from the business aspect, Tony's going to reap the benefits of it. But maybe he's like, huh, you know, doing the old confused dog cock ahead of the look. But, you know, let's, from both the business and the fan aspect, and you guys are close to Ryan Newman, were you guys rooting that on, and how excited were you guys up there at Michigan when you saw him take the checkered flag last week at the Brickyard?
Very happy. I mean, I really like Ryan and Chrissy. They're good people. And like I said, I think if it were up to them, if they had their druthers, the politics that accompany this sport, as every sport, but all the inner garage comings and goings of rumors and business deals and politics and gossip, and they just want to go out and race. And hopefully he's going to find himself in a situation where, and I almost equate it, I'm not equating the personalities, but I'm equating the environment that seems to welcome certain drivers. And you look at Kurt Busch. I mean, he was with an icon in the sport in Roger Penske, and Roger, God bless him, just couldn't get Kurt to calm down and fly straight. And he goes, you know, off now, and he's with a team that kind of lets him be his own person. I think there's less pressure there. He may even go run an open wheel race, go run IndyCar out in California, maybe the 500 next year. And Kurt's performing well again. He's racing well. And I just equate that to the fact that he kind of gets to be his own person, and he doesn't, maybe that pressure isn't there for him to go off on Dr. Jerry Punch or something. But so I'm hoping that something like that happens to Ryan Newman. Again, I'm not saying that Ryan acted like Kurt or has, but just that environment and the opportunity for someone with the mindset that Ryan has to thrive. And who knows, that may be at Childress, because clearly Richard has said, I'm going to have three cars next year. So it'll be interesting to see where Ryan ends up and where Quicken Loans ends up.
Well, and let me ask you this. If you were, and certainly I'm not asking you to say anything confidential that you may or may not know, but what I do want to know, if you were to just maybe give an educated guess or a theory, there's a couple things that have been tossed around here as far as rumors go, and that's really all they are. So I have no facts behind that. One, that he could end up in a Penske car or another car with another well-known owner. Two, he starts his own team and maybe in the lower ranks and maybe in the Truck Series or keeping up with the Silver Crown Series and moving up through the ranks that way as on the business side of it. Or he might make a move to IndyCar, which I don't think would be a good move for him. So if I mean, it could be any of those three or anything that you might think. If you were to make a guess, what would be your prediction of where Ryan Newman would end up at?
I can't believe that he wouldn't end up in a cup car next year somewhere. I mean, I have to believe that that's where he's going to be. But, you know, the other option that you threw in there, the middle one, I think he's got to be looking at that too, because I know, like I said, he and Chrissy just want to go racing. They want to have a good time. They want to enjoy their life. They know there's a business side of it, obviously. They want to get paid for what they do, what Ryan does. But I think he wants to make racing fun again. And if he can find that opportunity in a cup car, I'm confident he'll do it there. Otherwise, who knows? Who knows where he will end up? But I know he's just looking to start having some calmer days, some less politics,
sure.
get a crew and a crew chief that he's comfortable with, and make racing fun again, which is what it's really supposed to be at the end of the day, no matter what size your paycheck is or isn't.
Well, like he told me when I asked him, I said, where do you think you'll end up? I asked him the same question, and he said, you'll know when I know. So I think he's going to actually call me on the cell phone and say, hey, Tom, I know now. I mean, I don't know. That's what I got from it. So, no. But we're talking with Roger Curtis, one of our favorite guests here on The Balance, president of Michigan International Speedway. Roger, we were talking about IndyCar before you joined the conversation here, and one of the things I want to talk with you about – obviously IndyCar's in Detroit, and I know that's close in proximity to you, and I don't know marketing-wise and logistically-wise, but are you guys open to renewing the relationship between Michigan International Raceway and Open Wheel Racing?
Oh, very much so, and we have been since 2007, the last time that they were here. Yeah, look, there was some bad blood in 07, 08. I really felt like we had been dealt a bad hand intentionally with the dates. You know, we were asked to, quote-unquote, take one for the team so they could get a Mid-Ohio date, put us back-to-back with our Cup weekend in August, which was very, very difficult on not just our staff, which, hey, that's our job, we can deal with it, but more importantly on fans choosing between Open Wheel and Cup so close together, and Detroit, as you know, Belle Isle wasn't that far. It was Labor Day when they first brought it back. So it was, you know, you had three big races of major series in the same market at a time when the Michigan was ground zero for the recession, depression that was going to overtake the rest of the United States, and we were in the middle of that already. And
sure,
I just felt like that was unfair, and they came back with the same date the next year after they promised they wouldn't. So that's what led to the split. And once I got over the fact that Tony George told me he'd never met a stupid person from Terre Haute until he met me.
Oh my God, that
was a good one.
That he would say that. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. But, you know, I really liked Randy Bernard. I thought he was a great marketing mind. I just think maybe he wasn't a good, you know, to be the CEO of a series, you have to have more than just a marketing mind. You have to have a mechanical mind, a team mind, an organizational mind, and everything. And I'm not saying that Randy didn't, but clearly that's a very, very difficult position, especially with trying to right the ship, if you will, of an entire series and guide them towards growth. And so I'm really happy now to see. It feels like we're entering into an era of stability for those guys. Stability with leadership, I hope. Stability with the schedule. You know, stability with some sponsorship opportunities, things like that. Hopefully, some improvement on TV. And we've always kept the door open. And we had a conversation as recently as last summer about seriously considering bringing them back, and they would like to be here. It's just a financial model, and we always go back to that. It's got to work for both sides, and it works right now at a lot of road courses and street courses because you have, in case of Detroit, you've got GM that's underwriting a lot of it. You have a lot of corporate entertainment because it's downtown. You have CVBs and chambers and different things like that helping support some of these street races under the premise of economic development. But for us, I mean, it would be a straight-up old-school, you know, promoter. We got to go find a sponsor and sell tickets to cover the purse and sanction fee. And unlike with NASCAR, there's not a lot of TV. In fact, there's no TV rights fees coming back to the promoter. So it's a model right now financially that is very, very difficult for us. But we're getting closer, and I got to believe and hope that the stability that we're seeing in Open Wheel Racing with the leadership now, they've got a strategic plan. I mean, they, you know, that's something that they haven't really had in a long time. And so I think as they grow, it will bring us a little bit closer together to the point that at some point we'll intersect and say, hey, this model does work. Let's make it happen at MIS.
Well, one thing for sure, I think real true IndyCar fans, obviously it's called IndyCar for a reason because of Indianapolis Motor Speedway and, you know, the Oval, and real fans love fast tracks with IndyCar. Not that it gets Belle Isle, but they've got their own stuff going on over there economically and a lot of other stuff. And I think as a fan, just speaking as a fan, and I think fans in general would love to, if they had to pick between one of the two IndyCar races in the same market, go with Michigan. That's as close to IndyCars you're going to get, and we know that it's the fastest track in the world up there. So it would be fantastic to see IndyCar going up there around that track once again. And I think a lot of the drivers, especially the more veteran drivers, would love that as well. Well, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today, Roger Curtis of Michigan International Speedway. Roger, I apologize. I didn't ask you about the charity you were racing for. So go ahead and give us some information on your charity there that you were raising money for and how people can donate to that, and if there's any anything that I left out that you would like to tell us that that one smart guy from Terre Haute, Indiana, can tell us?
Oh, I love that quote. My team never lets me forget it either, and I know you won't know as well. So that's a good one. But no, we were racing for MIS Cares. It's our charity foundation for the racetrack up here, and we raise money for a lot of good causes around the state of Michigan. So when we have another event coming up with the Pure Michigan 400 on Thursday, Ryan Newman, we've talked a lot about him. He'll be there. Kevin Van Dam, some other fishermen, some other drivers. I think Brad Keselowski is going to stop by. It's a fishing tournament just down the road. It's called Fish Your Bass Off. All the fishing spots are sold out. But yeah, us dumb people from Terre Haute can come up with some funny names every now and then. But it's a good time. And the whole race weekend coming up August 16, 17, 18, Pure Michigan 400, Michigan National Guard 200 Truck Series. They always put on a great show. They'll be up here. So hopefully we can see some Hoosiers come up and visit us and kind of start the end of summer, I guess, if you will. And I think it's going to be a great race because we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but there are a lot of big-name drivers that are not locked into the chase. And those wild card spots are going to be, I think, intensely competed for the next few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Roger Curtis, I appreciate it. We look forward to getting back up there to Michigan. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway. Roger, thanks for taking time to join us today on The Balance In. And all is forgiven, by the way. We won't talk bad about you. I won't
thank
say
you very much. I love coming on.
I won't say anything about a guy from Terre Haute who don't know what day it is or what time it is. No, I'm just kidding.
I just proved Tony correct last week, didn't I? Oh, wow.
You're good, buddy. We love having you on, and we'll talk to you again soon. And you have a good week up there in Michigan, sir.
You too. Take care. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, one of our favorite guests to have here on the show, and certainly a very, very busy guy, and you know, puts on a class act up there at Michigan, and I just love it, man. He was supposed to be on the show with us last week. Obviously, we know he was racing go-karts. Who would have known that president of a racetrack is also a go-kart racer, and obviously racing for his charity, and we'll get that up on the social media. You can check that out and donate MIS Cares. And I know Michelle's getting all of that up there for you. Well, as we know, IndyCar is going to be racing out at Mid-Ohio. Certainly a good road course. They're going to be racing tomorrow afternoon. Check it out. They'll be on the Versus Network, I believe, as well. Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited as we move forward into the racing season. And you know, one thing I wanted to just pause here just real quickly, and I don't want to talk about this a lot, but I certainly want to mention it just in case you might be wondering. Ourself and Radio Speed Talk have just decided that we are going in different directions. No bad blood or anything like that. Radio Speed Talk had some things that they wanted to do as well. And so what we allowed them to do that. So we will be handling racing ourselves, and we wish them the best of luck. But I wanted to point that out, that they have decided that they're going in a different direction than we are, which is fine. I mean, again, about the whole business side of things and that sort of thing, certainly no bad blood at all. But I did want to let you guys know that, you know, Radio Speed Talk and The Balance have gone in different directions, but The Balance goes forward in the number one direction. My name's Sean Marquis, El Presidente. You're my minions. Stay put, guys. I tell you what, it's going to be good to catch up with these guys we've got coming up here right at 10 o'clock. And at 10:15, we're going to talk some soccer. We don't talk a lot of soccer here on The Balance, so we're going to have a good opportunity to do that at 10:15. Obviously, the International Soccer Championship, or I probably got that wrong, but was here in Indianapolis a few days ago. We're going to talk with a fan that was there coming up at 10:15. But next is Meet Your Makers right here on The Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. Do you have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Head in the game, head in the game.
My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you
and start living your life.
I have a life?
I wish I was fast.
Oh, no. What's happening to me?
Second.
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again.
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous.
A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy.
Those guys are awesome.
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
Okay, it's time to slow down here on The Balance and meet your makers. Tom talks with Brad and Chris from Tecure, a food anthology. You can visit them on the web at tecurefood.com to find out more about them and this worthy cause. Now here's your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance, the number one sports talk show in the world on Saturday mornings, and you're catching us all across the nation, of course, through our facilitators here on Blog Talk Radio, and across the nation and our affiliate radio stations, and our your smartphone apparatuses, whether that's TuneIn, Live 365, whatever it might be. Also, we also want to make sure that we welcome our friends up at Indiana Talks who run our Encore special between 3 and 5. So if you're listening to us between 3 and 5, yeah, unfortunately, you're not listening to the live version. You're doing what we call a radio tape delay, which basically means that you guys are hearing a pre-recorded show on Indiana Talks, and we appreciate Indiana Talks, obviously, through the entire state of Indiana from South Bend all the way to Evansville, and their network that they provide to us, it just allows us to be listened to by thousands and thousands of people, on top of the thousands of people that already, you know what, we love our show, and we love doing it. Join us now, though, we catch back up with Brad and Chris from Meet Your Makers. Yeah, and guys, you know, we always want to make sure that people know we take just a little bit of a pause from sports because we're following you guys across the nation. And you guys are our adopted charity. And we are following Brad and Chris. Obviously, we missed them last week because of the Brickyard activities. And so we're following them across the nation as they do their thesis on a on food and how it's grown and all the various different things. And we'll get all the website information up on our website. Well, Brad, Chris, how you doing, sirs? Did you guys make it a week without us? That's what I want to know.
What's going on, Tom?
It was hard.
What's
Tom?
Going
Barely.
On?
We missed you desperately.
I want to know is how's old Blue hanging up, holding up.
Blue's doing well, Tom. We blew a tire a couple weeks back in southeastern California, and actually got towed
again?
Across the Arizona. Again.
Is that again?
Got across the Arizona line. And
luckily, when you blow a tire, it's best to do so right next to an Indian casino. So as we waited for the tow truck, we got to play a couple of slots and try to double up the old coffers.
So needless to say, we don't have any money left.
I was going to say, did you win any money for the cause? Well, guys, I know that that we missed you last week, and we've got you for about 15 minutes today. But I do want to catch up with you on everything, and I know you sent some talking points over to Michelle, and we're going to kind of go through that. So you guys have left L.A., and are you in San Diego now? Is that where I? Because I'm just now getting these talking points, guys. I apologize, but go ahead. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you guys send us the talking points. So I'm just going to let you guys walk us through the last 2 weeks and catch us totally up on everything here. And I'm just going to let you guys go through your own talking points. How's that sound? See, am I not a good host, guys? Come on, give it to me.
That sounds like a great idea, Tom. We would be happy to do so.
Go
We're
ahead.
Actually, calling in this morning from Houston, Texas.
Okay, that's
so
a long way.
Covered some ground in the last couple of weeks. We did go from Los Angeles down to San Diego. We actually were in San Diego for the crazy event that is Comic-Con, but we didn't stop anywhere. We went to a tea master and learned about black tea, green tea, white tea, and kind of an aged tea known as pu'er. And so we spent an afternoon with him doing several cuppings, probably drank our weight in tea, and we're all pretty hopped up for a while.
About 5 hours of tea tasting. That means a sleepless night.
So we camped out in his in Alan's backyard, and then from San Diego, we hit the road towards Phoenix, which was a stopover point for us, blew that tire.
Blew that town, made our way through Four Corners. Which is the point which supposedly connects Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico all at the same spot. So technically you're supposed to be able to be in all four states at once. This is not a very interesting stopping point on any road trip destination.
Well,
Don't go out of your way to see it.
I've always heard that was like the place to go, to be in four states at one time. To me, that would be incredible. So, in other words, it's just a plaque, basically.
More or less, yes. And you also have to pay the Indian reservation a little bit to get in there as well. So it just all in all doesn't make sense.
Well, they got to support the casinos. Go ahead.
We plainly support the casinos. But so from there, we made our way into Colorado, which is a beautiful state, by the way. The western half is just absolutely gorgeous, especially where we saw Avalanche Goat Creamery. They have it's not a farmstead operation because they keep their goats high on the mountainside, and their creamery is a little bit farther down in one of the valleys. But they're doing some really tremendous goat's milk cheeses there, a whole breadth of different things. And we chatted with them got a good tour and tasting for a couple of hours, and actually were able to take some of her cheeses and use those in a beer and cheese tasting workshop that we did for about 25, 30 people in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, who helped to support and fund our trip. And so that's one of the ways that we were able to kind of give back to them. Teach them a thing or two that Chris and I have acquired over the years of studying beer and cheese about what we're knowledgeable of, what people are interested in. So we gave them a taste of it, and I think everybody had a really great time.
Well, so now you guys are in Houston right now. So what are your plans there in Houston? And one of the things I want to do, because we've only got you for a few more minutes here, what I want to do is I always try to recap what you guys really are doing. I mean, it's one thing to follow two guys across the United States that are doing their thesis in college, and that's cool. But you guys are really doing this for a good cause. And like I said, you know, everybody has their charities that they support, but we support you guys on this and trying to help you get the word out and really bring light to what you guys are doing, because you guys are really doing a lot in a lot of ways. You guys are putting together a kind of like a little mini documentary, a web episode, if you will, which are becoming more and more popular. So talk with us a little bit about what you guys are doing and the thought process of how you guys came about it. And you're across the United States, and now you guys have made it all the way across the United States. We've been following you since you left Boston. And again, you know, the thing about it is you guys were right there in the thick of things during the Boston bombing and that sort of stuff. So we've had a kind of unique opportunity to talk with you guys about some various different things. But you left Boston, you traveled across the United States, and then now you've hit California and you're headed back, and now you're in Houston, Texas. So you're actually headed back to Boston. Talk with us a little about what you guys do and what you're doing and the whole purpose of this trip.
Yeah, Tom. So we've been on the road now for about 11,000 miles. We've got about 4,000 or 5,000 until we get back to Boston. And having left in mid-May, we've been working with various small-batch, artisanal, craft-minded food producers across the country. So we'll actually meet with, say, a dairyman or a brewer or a baker or an oysterman, and we'll spend time talking to them about what motivates them to get in and start this type of work. We'll talk to them about what their craft is and what it takes to do what they do. And we'll just kind of learn about them and their story, and then be a medium to share that story with other people. We're really interested in fostering kind of the dialogue that's required to keep a small food business afloat. And also, of course, to educate people about their food and where it comes from.
Absolutely, Tom. We set off in many ways because we were interested. We were very curious in how things were made and where they were coming from and by who. And so we figured there would be no better way than to observe that from the ground up. And so we took to the streets, and we've met so many interesting people doing so many interesting things, and we've really gained a whole lot of behind-the-scenes knowledge on how things are made. And I think it's really quite obvious that we've gained an appreciation for our food, and we really hope to be able to share that with our readers and our followers about why this sort of food is important, how it's made, who's making it, and really create a really appreciative food economy.
Yeah, and you asked what we're doing in Houston here, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give people an idea of what we do.
He said do-do. Doo-doo, you know, man, you knew that on the balance. When you said doo-doo, I was gonna have to go there. But go ahead, man.
It's all right. It's good follower in the balance. what first comes to mind, Tom, when you hear the word public gump?
Public gump?
Public gump. You
Bubba Gump.
Gump,
oh, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. I'm with you. Okay, yes.
That's right.
Shrimp, deer shrimp, coconut shrimp.
So yeah, Sunday morning, shrimp. We're actually tomorrow morning. we have to be out on a shrimp boat at 3:00 in the morning, and we're going to be riding out with Shrimp Boat Projects. It's kind of a charitable shrimping operation itself that uses shrimping to teach the Houston Galveston area about its local environment and kind of the business of shrimping and how that reacts with the local environment. So we'll be out with the guys on the shrimp boat early tomorrow morning for about 12 hours. We'll be out there around 3 a.m. and we don't make back into port until about 2. We're going to be learning about shrimping, what it makes, what it takes to be a shrimper, what got these guys going on their pretty interesting trail here, and we'll come back, and in some time we'll have a report for everyone. Pictures, video.
I love that. And you can catch all the video and all the action at www.2curefood.com. I'll tell you what, I love shrimp. I'm a shrimp fanatic. And if there's a way to eat shrimp, I'll eat shrimp. And I especially like shrimp with my steaks. And I don't know if you guys have ever ate at St. Elmo's here in Indianapolis or had their shrimp cocktail. I'm going to tell you, it's the best in the world.
Amazing.
It is. I knew Brad has, but I didn't know if Chris had or not. So, well, guys, we got to wrap it up here. Unfortunately, we got a packed house. Hey, let me ask you this: are either one of you guys soccer fans?
I love soccer, Tom. I've never really followed much of the major league or international teams. I do like the World Cup when it comes through, but it's a great sport.
Well, the thing about it is they came through Indianapolis, and the International Champions Cup came through, and we're going to talk with a fan here in just a moment that was actually there. Chelsea won that match, and you know it's because in Indy now has got their professional cup soccer team, and that was part of the promotion with that called the Indy 11. But I didn't know if you guys like soccer or not, but it's going to be a good conversation that we have with them. So if you like soccer, certainly you guys can. I know you know how to listen to us, you can continue to listen to us. But we're talking with Brad and Chris. We're following them across the nation. Obviously, they're out in Houston getting ready to go out on a shrimp boat here soon, and we look forward to hearing about all of that and all of their adventures. And certainly, guys, we won't even say that we tapped the iceberg. We barely touched the surface of what they do. www.2curefood.com. Also, if you want to donate, if you want to follow their videos, if you want to read their blogs, very, very good site, guys. You guys are doing a great job. And just to see how you guys have grown since you left Boston, just an incredible site to go to, www.2curefood.com. Guys, any final thoughts, anything that I haven't asked, talked about, or anything that we've left out for you guys today?
Folks can follow us on Twitter at 2CureFood and Instagram at 2CureFood as well. We also have a Facebook page, but we'll be heading through Louisiana and New Orleans soon. So stay tuned, and we'll chat with you on the other side.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Thanks
again. Real quickly, guys, when are you headed to Florida?
We'll be in Florida August 7th, 8th, and 9th.
End of this week.
Well, Brad, I have to admit, your mom wants to know. I'm just saying.
All right.
So, you know, and I think she's listening to you right now, too. So you could do the proverbial hi, Mom. But no, I needed to ask you when you're headed to Florida. So go see your mom, Brad.
Looking forward to it. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Brad and Chris of 2foodcure.com. Obviously, we take a break from sports, and we talk with them a little bit every Saturday morning as they travel across the nation and talk with us just about some of the adventures. And I wish that we had some time to just really talk with about some of the adventures they've had that really were non-food related. It is a lot of it is just our comical relief, if you will, because and here's the thing, guys, they're doing all this on their own dime. So go there and donate some money. They need some money. As you heard, they lost it all in the casino. No, I'm just kidding, Debbie. All right, guys, we got to take a break, and we get back. Hear me talking about the big soccer match that happened here in Indianapolis. We're going to be talking, a colleague of mine and a fan, big soccer fan, and he had an opportunity of a lifetime to check out the World Cup soccer out at Lucas Oil Raceway. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about that right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Oh, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass brawl. And like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, my minions, welcome back. Welcome back to The Balance. We're heading down to the final half hour of our two-hour show. We do this every Saturday morning nationwide. Welcome, welcome, welcome all across the United States. So good to have you with us. Well, as you guys know, here on The Balance, we cover a lot of football. We talk a lot of football. We're going to be talking more and more about it. Obviously, our last half hour today is going to be dedicated to nothing about football. And certainly, fans are used to going to Lucas Oil Stadium and watching football. But not like Thursday's game, a different type of football, the football. Two of the world's top professional soccer teams played in an audience on a TV audience, really, in over 150 countries. And I tell you what, it was an exciting time here in Indianapolis as we watched that. And, you know, I really kind of was taken back as I left my office on Thursday night on really how many soccer fans are here. Of course, we know a lot of people traveled from across the globe to be at this game. But one person that was able to make that game was a colleague of mine, Mr. Sean Horton, who's a huge soccer fan. And, you know, we don't talk about soccer enough, and maybe we'll change that, especially after I realize how popular it is. And it's really – and we look at worldwide sports – and the United States is probably the only nation where it's not gained traction, and it really isn't it's the number one sport everywhere in the world, but the United States. Of course, it was meant to promote the new Indy 11, but joining me now is my friend, colleague, and super soccer fan, we're going to call him, super soccer fan, who's not necessarily a soccer mom, but a soccer dad, Mr. Sean Horton. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Welcome to The Balance, sir. I am so glad and honored to have the esteemed Sean Horton with his soccer knowledge. So we're going to kick it with we're going to kick it with Sean Horton. You know, I'll tell you what, man. I've been working on these soccer metaphors all week long. Sean, talk with us a little bit about this game. Obviously, I know your team is Chelsea. They took the win out there at Lucas Oil. Talk with us a little bit. One, as a fan, how incredible that was, and talk with us a little bit about the actual game that took place at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, you know, Tom, to me personally, with being the big a fan that I am, you know, I would register that to going to the Super Bowl. You know, getting to see a team that predominantly plays obviously overseas, I pretty much felt until I heard this game was coming to town that I had a better chance of winning $1 million than being 20 yards from some of you know, the biggest stars, you know, in professional soccer. So the emotion and the adrenaline and every possible thought, you know, running through my body and as well as everybody else in the stands is just you can't put words to it. Just absolutely amazing.
Well, certainly you are one of 41,000 soccer fans that come to Lucas Oil. They use the real grass. And certainly Indianapolis played host to Chelsea and Inter Milan and the Guinness International Cup Champions Cup. Talk with us a little bit about that series. And you did win $1 million. You actually won the lotto, and the way I understand it, you had some pretty good seats.
Yes, we had some amazing seats. We were on the half-yard line. About 10 rows back, which, I mean, again, puts you about 20 yards from the stars. So, you know, envision maybe you and Peyton Manning back in the day being that close to one another. It's just, you know, absolutely amazing. No, these exhibitions they host where they typically pair up a lot of the international teams that would never come across one another. Typically, Chelsea plays in your British Premier League, which consists of your Manchester United, your Manchester Cities, your Arsenals, a lot of the big names over there in England, whereas Inter Milan plays in their Italian league. So they put on these friendlies, I want to say, to, you know, build up the sport, you know, across the world, but then pair up rivals that would never come across each other and play in any other fashion. So it's really, really interesting to see that dynamic pan out.
We're talking with Shad Horton, who's also a colleague of mine and a huge soccer fan. Had an opportunity to go out there and check out some World Cup soccer champions game. Now, more bringing it back more home here, the Indy 11, a brand-new soccer team here, brought you to Indianapolis. Obviously, you're going to be following them, and we'll probably have you on the show as their season progresses and goes along and talk with us about the Indy 11. But talk with us about what the Indy 11 is and why did it make sense for it to come to the Midwest?
Well, you know, soccer is a big up-and-coming sport. You know, it's pretty much been, I want to say, in the back door as far as the sporting arena in this country, whereas the entire world, you know, currently recognizes it as the most popular sport. You know, and as far as the Midwest is concerned, it's just a fantastic area where you have such a diverse, you know, population and dynamic going on, and already having, you know, great teams going on in Chicago with the Chicago Fire, as well as, you know, others across the nation. It just made sense the way that this is such a sports-focused community to fly back into the arena and get us involved while the getting is good. There's no place to go but up as far as soccer is concerned, so I think that's really the strongest point, you know, for us in this area. Strike while the iron's hot, Tom.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, in a lot of ways, Indianapolis is frontiering a lot of international sports, and let's face it, in my opinion, what a better place. I mean, we've got the NCAA, and we can put aside the Colts and the Pacers and all the other stuff, but in a lot of ways, Indianapolis really, truly is a sports capital of the world, and really, you can come to Indianapolis and see just about any sport that you want, and soon, there's going to be actually a cricket field being built here on the outside of Indianapolis as well, so certainly it makes sense for soccer as well, and as we move forward with the Indy 11. So talk with us about the Indy 11 and what kind of team they will be. Now, will they actually be playing inside the United States, or will they be making a lot of trips abroad? Talk with us about the league that Indy 11 will be playing within.
Well, as it stands, they will predominantly be within the United States. It is more of a minor league at this point in time. It's not the MLS where you'd hear of your New York Red Bulls and your LA Galaxy at this point in time. Being as much of a sports, you know, capital that we are, as you said, it's kind of the benching ground to see how the turnout's going to be and to see how things really go well for us, with the idea that we're going to then, you know, catapult ourselves into the Major League Soccer arena, you know, as far as the United States. So as far as my understanding is concerned, and not being specifically involved with the franchise, it will be predominantly just traveling around the United States with the possibility of probably going into Canada and areas like that.
Well, I want to read a tweet question that we just got. The question is to you, Sean, is it a match or is it a game?
It's a match. It's a match. You know, one of the fun dynamics, and I think some of the things that you and I had some bantering over, is the terminology that does hail from the rest of the world versus how things have been brought up here. You know, you get into soccer versus football and what it's going to be called. We play on a pitch. We don't play on a field. We don't wear jerseys, we wear kits. There's any number of things across the board that is being incorporated and really looking to absorb ourselves into the national spectrum, or excuse me, the world spectrum. Picking up on those, I think, is is key, and having that understanding when you do have international teams come over and knowing what exactly is going on, I think the world takes us more serious and really involving that way.
One more Twitter question, and for Sean Horton here. And real quickly, Sean, I tell you what, I've learned so much about soccer through you than I've ever known. I really am going to rely. I'm calling you on this here. So, but you're doing a great job, and I appreciate you coming on and joining us. Sean Horton, a colleague of mine, certainly a soccer fan. But one more Twitter question: as to quarterback, is to soccer. In other words, I guess they want to know what if you were to make the same comparison, the most important guy in a football team would be the quarterback. In soccer, who would that be, and what does that position look like?
You know, straight up, Tom, it's going to have to be your striker. It's a little bit of, I'd say, a reversed role, I want to say, if you were to put it in the perspective of, football versus football, as you like to say. but your strikers, you know, your center forward, the man scoring the goals. You know, obviously there's many players on the field that are more involved in setting up the plays, which, you know, as a quarterback, you know, you kind of get the one pass in there and then the rest of the team does the work, whereas in soccer, more so, the rest of the team is doing a lot more of the work, and the striker's supposed to be in the right place at the right time to get it in the net.
Well, you're doing a great job, and so we'll call that. Now, the goalie has got to keep that from happening, and I know I'm dumbing it down here for us, but the goalie actually keeps it. Oh, okay. Talk with me about what the goalie does then.
Goalie's job is to be the best predictor possible. You have to learn to anticipate what, when, where, why, and how the ball is going to be coming towards you and actively keep that out of there. I guess there's a saying, offense wins games, but defense wins championships. So I guess, you know, depending upon your take on things, you could put the goalie is up there with the quarterback, because I guess the game could be 0-0 when the day is said and done, no loss, no harm. But, you know, that's pretty much his goal is reading and see what's going on and keeping an eye on the team as he's getting to stand back there and watch the game unfold.
Well, real quickly here, and I wish we had time to get into some of the bantering. I would bring some of these guys on the air, but I didn't prepare you for any callers. So it says not the center, not the forward. The most important position is the goalie by far. Come on, Sean. Just saying. That's not me. That's my minions, man. Don't blame it on me, brother.
You know what? I completely agree. I mean, you could sit and you can argue. You know, there's any number of arguments that you can have. Yes, I will sit and agree with that person as well and saying that, guess what? The keeper keeps the ball out of the goal. Point, end of story. Simple as that.
Sean Horton, buddy, I love talking with you. And like. I love having you on, and as this soccer unfolds here in Indianapolis, we're going to have you back again, sir.
Hey, you know what? I absolutely appreciate you having me. I do look forward to the opportunity. I will tell you that Indy 11 won't be going on until next season, so it's going to be a little bit of time so we get to really start dialing and speaking with them. But, you know, I would love the opportunity to, you know, come on, and if folks were interested, you know, we can talk a little bit about how the international dynamic works, what's going on as far as MLS is concerned in the United States itself. And when the day is said and done, I can look to try and explain how offsides works in soccer, which is the conundrum for most people that have never played.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk off mic throughout the week this week. And maybe we can establish a regular soccer segment here on The Balance. But we're gonna go and take a break. And we get back, we're going to talk some NFL. Sean, you're certainly welcome to stick around and talk some NFL with us if you'd like to do that.
You know what? As much as I'd love to, Tom, that's definitely not my my cup of tea, per se. But I'm more than happy to listen to you. And maybe I can take some notes and follow up for the next NFL chat.
I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right. Sean Horton, colleague of mine, friend, and certainly a foremost soccer expert, and we look forward to having him on again. And I would give out his Twitter and stuff, but he threatened me with his life to do that. So he just was helping us out today, and hopefully we'll get him on and get him to talk a little soccer with us. And we're going to probably put together a soccer segment. Still in the works, though, guys. We're going to take a break. We get back, guys. That's right, man. Have an amen, brother. NFL is back on TV. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
It's about to be a lot.
Michelle Presidente. Thank you, Mr. Sean Horton, for coming on the air with us today and talking with you about some soccer. And I'm serious about this. I'm going to get with him at the office later this week and see if we can't put together a soccer segment on a regular basis. Because I think, and I have to admit, you know, your fearless leader is in a continual form of education. I did not realize until this week how popular soccer was within the United States. So, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just as popular as football. But as we heard Sean say, maybe the fan bases are two separate worlds. And one of the things we do here at The Balance is we like to give you a full balance of all sports and bring in all sports fans because that's what we do. But one of our favorite things to talk about every week, especially this time of year, is football. Amen, brother. It is football. And joining me is my partner in crime and fantasy football partner, and we have a lot of fun with fantasy football. Obviously, as we move into the league, we'll have different guys from the different leagues call in during this segment, during our fantasy football huddle. But right now, we're just going to break down some NFL talk, and joining us is Mr. $2 Bill. Josh. Josh, how you doing, sir? Josh, are you with me?
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you today, Tom?
Good. Josh, you have got to get rid of that Obama phone, man. It is.
Actually, I got a brand new iPhone for my job, so.
Oh, all right. So you did get rid of the Obama phone. Well, you know what? We're talking NFL with $2 Bill, Josh here. And so you got Apple and you didn't go with Droid, huh? Well, you know, Michelle's going to get mad at you about that because she's convinced that Apple is out to take over the world. And there might be those that would agree with that. But Cooper, let's talk a little bit about this Cooper thing. I wanted to also have Ed Kratz. He's going to be on next week with us, of our beat reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Certainly, I've been in some contact with him, but he's got some other obligations. Could not join us today. Obviously, the Eagles are in the middle of camp and just a lot of stuff going on that he couldn't join us as well. So Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick says that he could play with Riley Cooper. So let's talk about what Riley Cooper, for those of you who don't know what he did. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but basically Cooper was fined for his racially insensitive comment made at a Kenny Chesney concert. Now, what I will say to this is there's probably a lot of people at Kenny Chesney that has his same sentiments on this word. And I am not going to use this word on the air here, but basically he made a very racial statement that begins with N and ends with R. I'll let you figure that out. And it was taped, and of course it became viral after that point. And then obviously he had to issue an apology, and certainly the NFL now has yet another public relations nightmare. And I don't know, and we'll get into this conversation maybe here in just a moment. I don't know which I'm more disturbed about. Okay, so he makes this comment. I get it. He shouldn't have made it. All right, I get it. Understand it. But what I'm really just baffled about is people are more concerned about this comment that was made by Riley Cooper as opposed to Aaron Hernandez murdering people. And it looks like now multiple people. I don't know, on a scale of shockness, maybe our society has grown, has been desensitized to murder, and we're more concerned about racial comments. So, again, I'm not condoning or defending his actions. What I am saying is that as a league and as a society, we're more concerned about the comments that Riley Cooper made than the murders that Aaron Hernandez allegedly done. Josh?
I would agree with that. I'm not going to condone what he said, but he said it, and I don't understand not to take anything away from it. I don't understand why it's becoming as big a deal as what it is. That particular word is used every day in this country. It's not right. But Aaron Hernandez is a serial murderer looking like, who plays in the National Football League. And he's being completely ignored over a guy who all he did was get drunk and say something dumb. Yes, it was dumb, but Aaron Hernandez gets a free pass now. I don't get it.
Well, and here's the thing, and maybe we can look at it at a different angle. Aaron Hernandez has not been convicted. As we very well know, as we look back at OJ, there have been people who have been found innocent of murder in the NFL. So, and we look at, the Ravens guy brain fart for just a moment, but we look at what, so maybe, you know, we got to let it play through the system. He clearly was on tape, but in short, I guess it's an open-ended situation. We'll continue to monitor it, and certainly next week when we have Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, on the show, we're certainly going to dive into a deeper conversation about this. And I think just from, based on what I've said, and I talked via text with Ed this week. He was there at the press conference and certainly had some footage and stuff of his apology. Cooper, I think in my mind, is clearly apologetic. But certainly his outburst has generated the debate that it extends far beyond the boundaries of this sport, inside the locker room, and the divide between race in the sport and society, continues to linger on. And again, we look at Michael Vick. Michael Vick did a pretty heinous thing, convicted, went to jail, came back to the NFL. So there's a lot of forgiveness, but it just seems like that perhaps, and again, I'm using this in the context of which I'm using it in, that the lynch mob is toward Ryan Cooper as opposed to, you know, other people who have did far worse on a ranking scale, certainly not minimizing what the comments that Riley Cooper said. And certainly I look for the Eagles to release Riley Cooper. Obviously, this has become a PR nightmare at the beginning of the season that Chip Kelly does not want to deal with. I'm sure as soon as they find a suitable replacement, they'll be trading him. And the question is which team will pick up Riley Cooper, and we'll continue to monitor that situation as we move along. Well, NFL is back on TV tomorrow. football in America comes back, guys. It is a Hall of Fame game tomorrow. Josh, real quickly, Dolphins, Cowboys, open preseason on Sunday. Can I get it? Amen, brother. All right. Talk to us about this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, finally, football is back. I'm currently at a high school practice, and tomorrow night we got Cowboys Dolphins. So,
well, let's look at these two teams. Obviously, still very preseason. A lot of people say, well, preseason doesn't mean anything. Well, maybe it doesn't mean anything as far as the record goes, but it certainly gives us a good idea, a good look. And certainly, you know, we'll probably see very little of, you know, Tony Romo or Tannehill or Reggie Bush or Murray or any of the leaders of the team. But, you know, we look at it, a preseason game. It's a Hall of Fame game. It is nothing more than a parade of significance of showing us fans that the NFL has returned back and that we're just a little bit away from having a great in another great NFL season. So let's look at this, the offensive comparison to the defensive comparison, and kind of take a look at this. Josh, as we look at the Cowboys and we look at the Dolphins and we look at their season coming up, let's start with the Dolphins. When you look at the preseason walking into the Miami Dolphins, as we'll be able to see the first game on TV tomorrow night, and you better believe I'll be watching it on NBC. If you want to listen to it on the radio, it's Sirius XM Radio. We look at the Miami Dolphins, we look at their preseason. Talk with me a little bit about their offense and defense and some of the things that you're looking at with the Miami Dolphins.
Well, the Miami Dolphins, first of all, have to find their running back, as Reggie Bush now suits up for the Detroit Lions. Tannehill will play maybe a series tomorrow night, so they got to get some production out of their backup, decide who the backup's going to be. They got Mike Wallace, the former Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver, as a new wide receiver. Tannehill and Wallace have to get a connection going in the preseason. Their defense was pretty good last year. They got to get it fine-tuned, as they spent $80 million this offseason on pieces for their defense. So the defense should be much better. Should be an overall good game tomorrow night, basically. The starters will come out long enough to barely sweat, and then it'll be all backups tomorrow night.
Right, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, let's face it. It's not a game as far as, you know, we enjoy watching the preseason game, and maybe it's not football. You know, maybe it's just, you know, it's time to just, you know, watch a game on TV. But, again, only one more day until the America's team, the glorious Cowboys, square off against a team from somewhere else, as well as what a lot of people might say. I guess it's probably what a lot of Cowboy fans have been waiting for. Certainly, as we look at Tony Romo and some of the things he's asked for more control of the game. He's asking for more ability to call plays. And maybe it's his time. Maybe it is time for him to be given a little bit more range in the game. And certainly we see it obviously with people like Luck and Manning, and we see it in a lot of other good quarterbacks that are able to lead a team. Reggie Bush, but we look at RG3, and we look at a lot of people who have range who's not been in the league as long as Tony Romo. Tony Romo needs to start coming up and being a quarterback and a leader for the Dallas Cowboys. So we look at the Dallas Cowboys this year, Josh. What are some of the things you're picking up on? And is it time for Tony Romo to either, as we like to say, poop or get off the pot? And terms than that, but, you know, on the radio, we'll say poop or get off the pot.
Well, first of all, Romo's not going to play tomorrow. He's still battling, I believe, it's some type of arm injury.
Of course.
The Cowboys have only...
Of course, Josh. And then what I'm talking about is just season long. I'm not really necessarily talking about tomorrow's game, but go ahead.
Well, I do believe it is, except the Cowboys just gave him a 5-year, $100 million contract, so he's not going anywhere. The Cowboys are in a unique situation.
They hired Jason Garrett because he's an offensive mastermind.
They hired him as offensive coordinator 3 years ago. This is now his fourth season. And then 2 weeks later made him head coach. But now Jerry Jones doesn't trust to make the play calls. So they went out and hired Bill Callahan to coach, to be the offensive coordinator.
Now you have Tony Romo wanting to make the play calls. You have Jason Garrett who said, no, wait, you hired me to make the play calls.
And you got Callahan hired to make the play calls. So, Tom, who do you think ultimately makes the offensive play calls?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Callahan. As far as that goes, I would like to see Tony Romo get up there and lead. You know, a lot of people say in the NFL predictions, if you will, that the Cowboys will have a very good season this year. And certainly, you know, we've only got a few more minutes here, and I want to talk a lot about a lot of different things. And, Josh, I don't know if you're having phone issues, but you're fading in and out of me there, bud. If you could maybe find a stationary spot there where your signal's not messing up on us, that'd be good. But the Dallas Cowboys will blame the quarterback, Tony Romo. It's always Tony Romo's fault. I'm talking about the fans. The Oakland Raiders maybe need a new quarterback. The Jets quarterback is a running back and will lead the team to the playoffs. And all those different things, and we talk about New England, and will Tebow step up where Aaron Hernandez filled a void? Certainly all of those conversations we're going to talk about. But some of the things that I want to bring to your attention, Josh, and our listeners, are some predictions through the upcoming season, even if we're not necessarily talking about the preseason, but let's just kind of talk about the whole season as we look, you know, 5 miles up, about what's going to happen, and we look at some of the things throughout the season here. Carson Palmer, I don't think he's the quarterback for the Raiders. I don't think he's going to finish. Obviously, when Palmer was in Cincinnati, he was called the human jugs machine for his incredible accuracy. Yeah, Josh. So your phone's really acting up there. Hopefully, we can get you back on here in just 1 second here. But if you can find a stationary spot, and I understand with cell phones and you're walking, I know he's at a high school practice, so I know a lot going on there. But certainly now the former sharpshooter is reduced to having a in a lot of ways a water gun for an arm. And Palmer was terrible last year. I don't look for Palmer to be the ongoing quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, Josh.
I don't believe he is the quarterback of the future, but he's the quarterback of today, and maybe he has one good year left. Tom, I'm about to approach 30. Everybody over 30 knows once you get to 30, you lose a step. And unfortunately for Carson Palmer, he's 32.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm knocking on 45, and I'm just picking up a few steps, brother. Now, here's another bold prediction that I'm going to have for you guys going into the 20. Again, we look at last year. I'm talking about, we look at everything that happened last year, and maybe I'm going to make some of the same predictions, but I think it's time for Jerry Jones out there. We're talking about Dallas. I think it's time for Jerry Jones to clean house out there, Josh.
I absolutely agree. It's time for him to get rid of Jason Garrett, who he never really wanted to be the head coach anyway. He was just available. Tom, what about Tony Dungy? Bill Cowher taking over the Dallas Cowboys in 14.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know what? I sit around. I'll have to admit this, Josh. I sit around and ribbed you and jabbed you a little bit about every time we turned around. You said Brad Stevens was going to be the NBA coach somewhere. You never called the Celtics. So I'm going to say that, Josh, if you say that 2014 Tony Dungy will be the new coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I wouldn't put it past reality. I certainly don't think it's something that will happen, but you never know. Here we go. I said all along that Brad Stevens would never leave Butler for the NBA, but apparently that he did. And we haven't had you on the show since that happened. So what are your thoughts about Brad Stevens and going to Boston? Real quickly, digressing off football for a second there.
I like Brad Stevens going to Boston until he decided to hire all his teammates. His assistant coaches, Tom, in the NBA, 29, 28, and a 23-year-old who was the head coach of Brownsburg High School last year, not far from the Balance Studio, and went 11-10 as a high school head coach. That's the best you could come up with for an NBA assistant. Based on that, I think it's a bad hire.
That's a good point, and we'll certainly get into that in other times here. I want to get into some of these power rankings for the 2013 as we move through the preseason here, and it is what it is. Power rankings might not be worth the paper they're written on, but certainly I think that we look at some of these power rankings and give us a good idea of who might be where, and certainly we've talked about the Dallas Cowboys in their situation. So maybe the Dallas Cowboys got a strong safety, Barry Church. A lot of different good tools that the Cowboys have going for them. Maybe that's a team that we want to look at. And here's the thing: we look at a lot of different teams with a lot of different injuries. But let's look at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos obviously got Peyton Manning, and we're going to continue to talk about Peyton Manning. You know, we thought maybe last year it was kind of a thing. But, the Miller situation, we're talking about the Broncos, is one to watch. And losing two centers for a period of time, I think, will hurt the Broncos. But they certainly, after last year, I think we've learned we can't rule out Peyton Manning in the Broncos.
No, you absolutely cannot rule out Peyton Manning and the Broncos. I'm looking forward to October 6th, Sunday Night Football, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
Heck yeah, baby. You know that. And that is a game that I sure as heck hope that I have an opportunity to make it to. I think the entire world's watching that game. Hey, here's another team to take a look at, and I certainly like the 49ers, and certainly they have to find speed, a weapon outside of camp. I don't know, is that A.J. Jenkins? It almost has to be. The scary thing is Kapatrick is faster. Josh, what do you think? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that should be an absolutely great thing, and I think it's going to be a heck of a weapon for him.
Well, one more team I want to talk about for sure, because we are certainly running out of time. Time flies when you're having fun here on The Balance. I want to talk about the Patriots. The beginning of camp couldn't get here fast enough, I don't think, for the Patriots after the whole Aaron Hernandez nightmare. Again, we talked about a little bit earlier at the beginning of this segment. We're more concerned about Riley Cooper's comments, granted he shouldn't make them, than we are about Aaron Hernandez. But bottom line is Aaron Hernandez obviously has left a void in that team. And obviously this team will be tested because of this. But they have the best coach to get past it. Oh, yeah, and they have Tom Brady. And they have Tim Tebow. So what do you think about that mix that's going on in the New England Patriots? A lot going on with the Patriots. We don't have time to break it all down. Moving forward into 2013, we're putting the magnifying glass on the Patriots. What do you see?
I see a Super Bowl championship just because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick want to stick it to the national media. Although, sorry, Patriots, you knew Aaron Hernandez was involved in the gang when he was in high school. You knew about his legal troubles at the University of Florida. You don't get to blame anybody but yourself for being dumb enough to draft him.
Right, absolutely. Well, $2 bill, Josh, I'm going to let you go. It looks like that we've about ran out of time here. We're going to catch up with you next week, Josh, and Josh will be on the certainly our fantasy football huddle every week. Guys, real quickly, I want to put this out to you. If you want to play fantasy football in the fantasy league, you got to get with me ASAP. Michelle's got all that stuff up on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to play, let me know. We've only got a few openings in the Balance League, and we're going to have a great time this year, certainly on draft night and so forth. Well, guys, I want to make sure that I want to thank all of our guests, Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway. Also, glad that we were able to catch back up with Brad and Chris and Meet Your Makers. And Sean, and thanks for stepping up and giving us an insight to soccer. I'm looking forward to maybe putting together that soccer segment. And Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Well, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'm out of here. I want to make sure that you guys have a good week. Remember, don't drink, drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you next week. I'm out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.